This was picked. Back the other way, Witherspoon. Devin Witherspoon cuts back. What a night for the rookie. You think they love him in Seattle? How about 6 points? Touchdown, Witherspoon. No flags.
And do you know how the Seahawks got that great corner that had 2 sacks and a pick six last night? Want to take a guess on how they acquired him?
Was it part of the Russell Wilson trade?
Well done. Well done. Dusty Sharp's attack on a Tuesday. I like it. Yes. He was a 5th overall pick, which would have been Denver's pick, but they lost the first round pick. They didn't think it'd be a high pick because they thought Russell Wilson would be good. Wrong on all of those accounts. Plus, they give him a whole bunch of money. And even Drew Locke played a little bit last night when Geno Smith went out with an ankle injury and missed a few minutes there towards the end of the first half. My youngest son is a Seahawk fan. Why? I have no idea. So he was all about watching the game last night. So I watched it with him. And Kenneth Walker, a very good running back, is young. They got a couple outstanding young corners. The Seahawks are my sleeper pick. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. And they're off to a 3-1 start after losing their first game of the year. And Devin Witherspoon is a stud. And it was 14-3. The Giants had it first and goal there. And the pick six going the other way. That made it 21-3. And that was all she wrote. Seahawks sacked Daniel Jones 11 times. The Giants' offensive line is horrific. Their offense is horrific without Saquon Barkley. Barkley's sitting there going, yeah, see, I told you I was worth a whole bunch of money. And Daniel Jones, who I won't even start because the auto-pick computer picked him in the fantasy football draft for some reason. Thank goodness I got Jordan Love with my last pick. Daniel Jones has not been good. Although, in fairness to Daniel Jones, hard to be good when you have guys in your face all the time or taking you to the ground. So
yes.
The Giants are 1-3, and guess what? Their next 2 games against the Dolphins and the Bills. Good luck with that. And the Seahawks are 3-1, and they get the Bengals next week. And I'm like, go Seahawks, because then the Bengals could start 1-4. So, yikes.
I'm for it.
I'm for it, too. DK Metcalf touchdown pass last night. That's one of my youngest son's favorite players, and he has him on his fantasy team as well. It wasn't a great game to watch. There was mistakes by both teams, but in the end, the Seahawks get the win 24-3. Coming up, a former NFL tight end passing away in a unique way. Also, the Major League Baseball playoffs are set to begin today with a wild card series. No Red Sox, no Yankees, no Cubs, and no Royals. Darn it. I thought they were going to get there this year.
No Cardinals.
And no Cardinals. Yeah, that's even better. That's good, too. And then what do the Jayhawks do here with their quarterback situation, with the Jalen Daniels back issue? We'll discuss that coming up in just a little bit. But first, we throw it to Dusty for local sports information.
Yeah, the first thing I do want to note is the cross-country meet for today at Ellsworth has been postponed to Thursday, this Thursday, October 5th. So if you're planning on going to Ellsworth today for cross-country, hold off a couple days. Beloit, Concordia, Lincoln, and Sylvan Lucas are competing from our area. But again, that has been moved to Thursday. And actually, I believe Lincoln has a meet on Thursday, so they'll probably won't be part of that Ellsworth one. But anyway, we'll update. That's already updated on the website. So again, that has been postponed to Thursday for the Ellsworth cross-country invitational. We do have high school volleyball still on the schedule for today as the Beloit Lady Trojans back at home in NCAA league action hosting Ellsworth as Beloit is 29-2. They've won 27 straight matches, 6-0 in the league. Ellsworth's actually 6-0 in league play too, 12-9 overall. Matches begin at 5 o'clock with the girls varsity first match here tonight, and you can watch those on the online video stream at the Beloit Trojan channel at ncksports.com. So that'll be coming up here this evening. Ellsworth at Beloit. Also in the Northern Plains League, St. John's Tipton is at Lakeside tonight. They'll get started at 5 o'clock with the duel there. And then other Northern Plains League cross action there. Osborne Triangular hosting Hill City and Stockton. Rock Hills and Tescott are at the Natoma Triangular. And Sylvan Lucas hosting a triangular with Thunder Ridge and Southern Cloud here this evening. And Abilene is at Concordia tonight in the NCKL. Again, for all the latest news, standing schedule, scores, all you need to know about the area league schools, ncksports.com. You can find it all right at your fingertips.
All right. I'm sure you're aware of this, but your girlfriend is turning 50 today.
She is, yes.
Didn't skip me. She is. Yes, I know exactly. Listen. I know she was born at 8:33 a.m. 50 years ago today. I mean, Dusty has all this. It's kind of, I'm not going to lie, it seems a little bit creepy to me, but look out, Nev.
When you're in a bunch of Scream groups and stuff and following stuff on Twitter, it was all over the place already this morning. So
Party of Five was the show I liked to watch when I was in college at Pittsburgh State. Matthew Fox, who became a star in Lost, and then Neb Campbell, that was one of her first gigs, and then Jennifer Love Hewitt, that was her first gig, and they all ended up doing pretty well. And then Scott Wolf, he's had a few shows that have been kind of short. They haven't lasted a long time, but he was Bailey in that show, and I always that was a really good show. I like that show.
Yeah, I think the females that were in it have had better careers, yes, I think, going forward than the than the male counterparts.
Well, Matthew Fox has done pretty well. He does a lot of stuff behind the scenes too.
Yeah,
directing, I believe, and producing. But he was the star of Lost. He was the main character, that show was awesome. I love that show. But yeah, that was way back in the mid to late 90s. I remember that show being a big deal. Now she's 50. Dear Lord, I don't feel old at all.
I actually didn't get to watch Party of Five. We didn't get the channel it was on, for one, and
it was Fox.
It was kind of starting to roll out after, by the time I would have got to it anyway. And I actually just found it on DVD, and I'm gonna watch it here at some point, because that's one of the few Neve Campbell things that I haven't actually watched.
It was
all
a good show.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I watched every episode.
Yeah, my sister said she did too. My oldest sister that was in your class. So,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. Let's see here. So NASCAR has fined Matt Crafton $25,000, Nick Sanchez $5,000 following their post-race altercation Saturday. Did you see this video? It was, I mean, for crying out loud, they're yelling unbelievable things at each other, and one said, "I'm going to effing kill you." Okay, so Brock, who's a local person, put out there, and I thought this was pretty good. Brock says, "I have no dog in the fight. I could care less if either of these drivers are fined. Just find it odd that a NASCAR driver can be banned for clicking a button online over a very insensitive meme, but screaming the words, 'I'm going to effing kill you,' gets you just a $5,000 fine." You know, I've thought the same thing. Like, there's so many things that people have done, athletes, entertainers, or just people in general, and they get a slap on the wrist, and then it's something that they might, like, they may put something on social media, or they just say something out loud that cost them, in this case, not so much, I guess, $5,000. But I think that's a great point that Brock brings up. Totally agree with him. It's a double standard, there's no doubt about it.
Sure.
Like, words are really bad if they're online, but they're not bad if they're actually spoken.
And directed at somebody in a
"I'm going to
effing
like kill
that.
You"?
Yeah.
I mean, dear Lord. That's okay. Anyway, I'll move on from that one. That is interesting. Major League Baseball playoffs are set to begin today. The Wild Card Series. The Rays host the Rangers at 2 o'clock on ABC. Who you like in that series? I like the Rays. I think the Rangers totally screwed up at the end of the season.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one for sure.
I think everybody's picking the Rays in that one. I'm kind of cheering for the Rangers in a weird way. The Twins welcome the Blue Jays to town at 3:30 on ESPN. I got the Blue Jays winning that series.
I do too.
Twins just happened to be in a bad division. No team was close to being 500. Except the Twins, they were 88-74. The Brewers are at home against the D-backs at 6 o'clock on ESPN2. That's a tough one for me. I think that one could go either way. I really do. Who are you picking?
Well, I picked the Brewers to go to the World Series yesterday, so I got to pick the Brewers to win this.
Okay, I'll agree. I'll go with you. You know what? I'll change my mind. I'll say the D-backs get it done. I'm going to say they're going to
knock me out right away.
Yeah, why not? I'll go with the D-backs. Marlins at the Phillies. Whew. You know, the Phillies made it all the way to the World Series. I think a lot of people just think that they got the experience, they'll be automatically. I'm going to say the upstart Marlins get it done.
And we're going to be the same on that one, too, I guess.
Oh, you're going to take the Marlins?
I don't know. For some reason, I feel like they're going to get it done.
Interesting. Orioles and the Astros have the top two seeds. They get byes in division round, as do the Braves and the Dodgers in the National League. So we'll see how it plays out. I don't know how much I'm going to be ingrained into the playoffs, but I'm sure there's going to be exciting games, and I think the best time to tune in is towards the end of the game, and I'm sure I'll get into it a little bit. What's amazing to me is you have such a long season, and then in 3 days, or in possibly 2 days, your team season's over.
Yep.
Like, the Rangers led, they were in first place for 159 days, and now they could lose today and tomorrow and be done and not have a home playoff game.
Yeah, that's tough.
That is tough, no doubt.
It's better than the one game,
well,
I guess.
Well, that's true. They used to have the one game, which I don't know how many years ago on this date in history, but the Pirates got into Johnny Cueto's head so badly he dropped the ball on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, Cueto recovered enough to pitch well enough in the postseason for the Royals in 15. Yeah. But
thankfully, they decided, hey, you're only pitching at home.
Yes, yes. And by the way, that was with a one-game wild card. The Pirates, that was the last time they made the playoffs, and they won that game over the Reds. Do you see Joey Votto's last game as a Major League Baseball player with the Reds got ejected in the first inning for arguing a call, which was clearly the wrong call by the ump, and apparently ump didn't understand the situation and threw out Joey Votto. Joey Votto said, I earned it. I deserve it. Thing is, the ump totally missed the call. The pitch was way outside, called it a strike. It was a ball. And so he argued it, and he got thrown out of his last game as a Cincinnati Red.
Yeah. Man.
He is beloved in Cincinnati. He is stand-up dude, and all the things he say. He says the right things, no doubt. KU football team, they will try to regroup after that loss to Texas. They will be hosting Central Florida coming up on Saturday at 3 o'clock, pregame at 2:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. Then Oklahoma State. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, will be tomorrow instead of Thursday at Talk KU football, so stay tuned for that. And, of course, the other big news with KU athletics, which I'm sure we're not going to touch this at all tomorrow, but Arterio Morris was dismissed from the KU basketball team. He was originally suspended, now dismissed. He was transferred from Texas, and he has been charged with rape. So pretty serious accusation there, no doubt, and charge. So he's no longer on the basketball team, and he played pretty well when they went over to Puerto Rico here during the summer. So that's certainly a thing that KU fans have been following. The football team, however, Jalen Daniels, his back tightness, and really KU didn't seem to have a good beat on this. It's apparently everything was good until he was like the hotel on Saturday, the day of the game, and this flared up. And I think it's a very unusual injury for a guy that age, who's 20, I believe. Here's the question, and I don't know if there's, I don't know what the correct answer is. How do you handle practices during the week? Now, granted, if Daniels can't go, he can't go. That's easy. You just beans with the ones. Simple. But if Daniels is good and then all of a sudden it can flare up, do you, like, if you take away first team reps from Jalen Daniels and he ends up playing on the weekend, that hurts Jalen Daniels. If he takes the majority of the reps and then has the back flare up, then that really hurts Jason Bean. This is a very unique and odd situation that KU is dealing with here. They're dealing with the Big 12 preseason offensive player of the year, a guy that's very electric when he plays. Jason Bean is one of the best backups in the country, I would argue. Very talented. He just needs to remember to learn to turn it up field instead of going parallel line of scrimmage sometimes on a fourth down run. He's done that a few times in his career. I think he's worried about getting hit sometimes. He's got outstanding speed. Probably need to run him a little bit more, but if he's going to go sideways, that doesn't make sense. I think he'll play much better this week. I don't expect Jalen Daniels to play this week or next week. I think Jason Bean and KU can win the next two games without Jalen Daniels. And then that sets up Oklahoma coming to town. But here's the thing. Like, normally if you have an injury, it's like, okay, you know, 2-3 weeks to recover. We're going to rest him. He'll be good to go, right? But in this situation, you could rest him, sit him out, and then he gets practice all week for the Oklahoma game, and then it flares up again. This is a very touchy situation for the KU football team. And thankfully, Jason Bean didn't transfer. Like, you know, we talk about Will Howard. We give Will Howard a lot of credit for not transferring from Kansas State. Even though most people would have when Adrian Martinez came in last year, and Will Howard stuck it out. And it's worked out well for Will Howard. Jason Bean, everybody expected after he didn't make the play on that 2-point conversion against Arkansas in the end of the bowl game, everybody assumed he was done. And he came back. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe he knew something a little bit more than other people did, and that is Jalen Daniels is fragile, and I'm going to get my opportunity. Thankfully for Kansas, he stayed, because this gives us a tremendous insurance policy. Because Jason Bean is one of the better backups in the country. There's no question about that. So Kansas can probably weather the storm, at least for the next couple weeks. The question is, if they can get the 6-1, which I think is very doable, then Oklahoma at home, Iowa State on the road. Iowa State's not very good. Texas Tech at home. I mean, Texas Tech's had all kinds of issues. I'd say Kansas can beat Texas Tech with Jason Bean. They can beat Iowa State with Jason Bean. Kansas State at home, I think you need Jalen Daniels to beat K-State. That's what I believe. Mm-hmm. And then at Cincinnati, which I think you probably don't. Really, honestly, the only two games that I think you definitely need Jalen Daniels to win is the Oklahoma game at home and the K-State game at home. But let's say Jalen Daniels doesn't play for the rest of the season, which I'm not saying there's any reports that he won't, but I'm just saying let's say that he can't go the rest of the year. Jason Bean can win all the other games. I'm not saying he can individually. The defense has to be better than it was against Texas.
Yeah.
But they're not going to see anybody like Texas the rest of the year. There's nobody as good as Texas the rest of the season. The only team on their schedule the rest of the way that can run the ball down their throat would be K-State. Oklahoma is explosive offensively. So I think they have to have Jalen Daniels to beat Oklahoma. I think they have to have Jalen Daniels to beat K-State. But let's say Daniels doesn't play the rest of the year. If KU can win the next two, and that's an if. Central Florida's not bad. Oklahoma State, who knows? They might figure some things out. But 6-1, you lose Oklahoma 6-2. You win at Iowa State 7-2. Let's say you trip up against Texas Tech 7-3, K-State 7-4. Cincinnati, you win 8-4. What I'm trying to tell you is, even with Jason Bean at quarterback the rest of the season, there's no reason Kansas can't still get to 8 wins, is what I'm trying to tell you. Maybe 9. And maybe I'm being unfair to Jason Bean. If he gets all the number one reps all the time the rest of the season, maybe Kansas can beat Oklahoma and K-State at home. They are at home. The two toughest games the rest of the way for Kansas are in Lawrence. So, but how do you deal with the reps? How does the team deal with the chemistry? If you're in and out of the lineup a lot, and Jalen Daniels missed week one, and then he missed week five, and he played the three games in between. That's 40% of the games he's already missed. And the one that was probably the most important, at least up to this point, at number three, Texas. This can be a really, really tough challenge for Lance Leipold and staff to deal with, in my opinion. But at the same time, they are in way better position to deal with it because Jason Bean stayed. Can you imagine if he hadn't, where they'd be right now? Yeah. Can you imagine other programs would be in this situation where their best player, who's a preseason conference player of the year, probably wouldn't have the luxury of having the experienced backup that KU has? So KU is very fortunate from that standpoint. How do you go about it? I guess it's day by day. But
it is. Listen,
Do you remember a situation, anything like this before? Like where it just flares up like this for a young kid?
No, it's like
I've seen it in the pros a few times.
Yeah, but I can't think of one off the top of my head where it's just you never know situation.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's probably been situations that I just can't think of where, you know, you've got a guy that it's touchy, but it's not usually something like this. It's like an ankle or something, or it's, you know, it's just something that nags on you. And there's been plenty of those things that have happened, probably. But with the back at that age, it is kind of strange and it's weird. But there's no script for this, probably, the right answer of what you should do with reps at practice and who should take them and who should get more or whatever. What I would say is, I guess it's easy for me to say this because I'm not in their shoes, but if Jalen Daniels is ready to go and he feels healthy enough to do it and he's your number one quarterback, I guess you got to give him the reps, right? Like, that's the way I look at it, because each opponent's going to be different. So scout team on the other side is going to be running different stuff each week. It'd be easy to say, well, if he's the number one guy, he doesn't need all those reps anyway. He'll be ready to go when he's ready to go and he's healthy. Mm-hmm. But you want those reps to go against different defenses and different things that you're going to see from scout team, so you can understand what that other defense is going to be doing to you, because not every defense every weekend is going to be the same that you're going to see on the field on Saturday. So I feel like if he's good and if he's ready, that you got to roll with him getting most of the number one reps if you feel like he's starting on Saturday. It's hard to control what might happen in the in-between. So maybe go 80-20 instead of 90-10. Mm-hmm. You know, give Bean a little bit more so he can see those looks.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like you said, if Daniels isn't healthy, then it's easy. It's just Bean goes out and takes all the reps, and maybe he gets healthy by the end of the week and Daniels can still start. He's seen what he needs to see just watching practices and things. Or maybe you just feel more comfortable letting Daniels sit for a week and letting Bean take over in that scenario.
Right.
But I think if he's ready to go, if he's my number one quarterback, he's getting most of the reps. And I know you've got to figure it out because you don't know. That unknown is part of that, but I don't know. It's tough. I wouldn't want to be in the situation, I'll promise you that.
Yeah, but at the same time, Kansas is more suited to handle this than probably 95% of programs across the country at the Power 5 level. So it'll be very interesting to see how they handle this going forward. And it's got to be extremely frustrating for Jalen Daniels because you know he wants to play. He's played through some stuff before. It's not like he's soft. Like, immediately people go, oh, he's soft. Well, we don't know the situation, exactly what he's going through. And trust me, he wants to be out there playing. Sad story passed along to you. Former NFL tight end Russ Francis passed away at the age of 70. He played for the Patriots and the Niners. I remember playing for the Niners. Was one of two people killed in an airplane crash at Lake Placid Airport on Sunday. Francis spent over a decade in NFL. He played college at Oregon, first-round draft pick of the Patriots in 75. He was a second-team All-Pro twice, earned three Pro Bowl nods with the Patriots. Briefly retired following the 80 season, was traded to the Niners in 82, was a key piece of the franchise that go on to win the Super Bowl during the 84 season. That's when I remember him playing. He returned to the Patriots 87, played his remaining three seasons for the franchise. He's a member of the Patriots All-1970s team and the New England Patriots 35th anniversary team, but he passed away killed in an airplane crash over the weekend at the age of 70. He was a very good tight end, one of the better tight ends out there back in the day.
I'm going off of what you're saying because I don't.
Yeah.
The name doesn't even register for me, to be honest with you.
He was a tight end before Dwight Clark.
Yeah.
There at San Francisco. See, there's one other thing I was going to pull up here. I'm going to have a shorter show today. All right, so we were talking about the Chiefs yesterday, and they went over the Jets. And I talked about a play that was overlooked, and I don't see anybody talking about this still today, which is fine. But the play that I mentioned that was overlooked was Mahomes busting his butt and diving for a first down on a 3rd and 12, and there was a holding penalty, which made it 3rd and 22, and then he ran for 25 and got the first down. But if he doesn't pick up the first down 3rd and 12, it's 4th down. Jets decline the penalty. They decline the penalty. Andy Reid's got to decide, do I kick a long field goal? Do I pooch punt it? Do I go for it? So that was a huge effort play that's overlooked that isn't showing up in the stats or in the scorebook. I'll give you one more. And I some people overlook a play that I thought was very important. There's another play that I overlooked and didn't talk about yesterday that has been brought to my attention the last couple of days after the show yesterday and today, and I have to admit was one hell of a play. And that was when Breece Hall broke into the open field, and I thought he was gone for a touchdown. And Brian Cook was the only guy. He was a safety. That's what a safety is supposed to be, the last line of defense. And Breece Hall, Cook got spun around he did get spun around. I'm watching the replay right now. Somehow brought down Breece Hall, slowed him down. I think, he slowed him down enough. I think the Chiefs might have caught him from behind, but if he doesn't slow him down, that's a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But not only did he slow him down, he was able to make the open field tackle with a guy trying to block him in front. That saved a touchdown. Do you know what the Jets ended up doing on that series after Cook tackled Breece Hall? They punted.
Yeah, I forget now.
They didn't score.
Yeah.
The Chiefs won by 3. I mean, Brian Cook saved 6 points, probably 7, at least a minimum of 3, but probably 7. That's a play that is extremely overlooked, but is getting some credit and some due today. You know how many tackles Brian Cook had in the game against the Jets on Sunday night?
I don't.
1.
That was the only one,
according to the stat book. Now, I think he probably assisted on some that they missed, but he did. He got the one tackle, but it was a gigantic tackle. So another play that is overlooked. We all focus on the last play where the officiating was bad. I'm amazed at how many people that on social – I should not be amazed. So many people on social media have no clue what the rule book is in the NFL and don't know the rules of football, don't understand what a hold is and what isn't a hold. And then these things that they point out looking at each play. This is the treatment. Listen, the Chiefs are the villain of the league, all right? And we predicted this. Listen, if you listen to our show on an everyday basis and you've been doing this since, Mahomes became the quarterback, I said on this very show, when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl, I said, they are the media darlings. Everybody loves the Chiefs because the Patriots, the dynasty is over. The Chiefs have knocked the Patriots off the perch. The Patriots are done. And somebody new now opens up the door for everybody to win championships. And I said after they won the first Super Bowl, I said, if they win another Super Bowl, which I predicted they would win multiple Super Bowls, I said, the Chiefs will become the Patriots of the National Football League. They will become the hated. They'll become the one that everybody talks about how everything is favoring them. Mahomes gets on all the calls, just like Brady got all the calls. And here we are. This is exactly where we are. It wasn't hard to predict. Didn't take rocket science to predict it, other than predicting the Chiefs are going to be good for a long period of time. The Chiefs have been AFC title game 5 straight years. We all know that, right? They've been to the Super Bowl 3 times in the last 4 years, and they've won 2 Super Bowl rings. Mahomes is all over commercials. So is now Travis Kelce. This is even more so than what the Patriots had. In commercials, Brady didn't do as many commercials as Mahomes did. Gronkowski didn't do as many commercials as Kelce did. In fact, Gronkowski does more commercials now, retired, than he did when he was playing. Andy Reid's in commercials. Bill Belichick was rarely in a commercial. America is chief fatigued. They are. And it is interesting, because I know, as a Chiefs fan, watching the Patriots do what they did, that I got tired of Brady barely being touched and called a personal foul, like we saw in a playoff game, an AFC title game. I get tired of seeing how much Brady gets credit for everything when the defense carried his butt a few times in the Super Bowl. And yet I know he's a great competitor and a great quarterback, all right? And I acknowledge he's the greatest of all time as of now. That could change, obviously, over time. But I got fatigued with it. You know, Brady this, Brady that. Belichick's the greatest coach ever. It's like, well, let's see what Belichick does without Brady. Well, it hasn't gone so well for Belichick since Brady left, has it?
That first year, it looked like it was going to be decent, and then it's just kind of been average at best right now.
Everybody just assumed he was going to win at a high level because Matt Castle, 1 year, when Brady got hurt in week 1 against Bernard Pollard and the Chiefs, which they created a whole rule to protect quarterbacks because of Tom Brady missing a whole season. And so, as fans of Chiefs Kingdom, what did we think of the Patriots winning all the time?
We're tired of it.
We're sick of it. Yeah. Tired of it. We were saying the same things, right? Brady gets all the calls. It must be nice. The NFL's rigged. And now I see some of the same memes out there. They just replace Mahomes. They put Mahomes in place of Brady's face, and they show that Mahomes and the officials are best buddies. And I guarantee you, during those years, and Chiefs fans don't understand this. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm trying to explain it. I'm sure during all those years when we were claiming, including myself, that the Patriots are getting most of these calls, right? That there were calls that went against the Patriots, and Patriot fans were trying to be logical and say, listen, look, this happened the second quarter. If the NFL's rigged, why was this called on us? How was this missed? Now, fast forward 5 years, and here we are. The Chiefs are the new dynasty, or on their way to a dynasty, whatever way you want to argue. Any close game, people immediately say to Chiefs, the fix is in, it was rigged, these calls go for the Chiefs. And Chiefs Kingdom is Mr. Defensive, right? We are we hunker down, we dig deep, and we step up with our sharp fingernails and claws as Chiefs Kingdom, and we say, listen, you're full of crap. Jawan Taylor gets picked on, gets called for penalties that nobody else gets called for. There was a horse collar that you guys the officials completely screwed up. A safety that should have never been a safety. And nobody in America wants to hear it.
No.
Nobody in America wants to hear it. These buffoons that don't know anything about football making a video and screaming, how is this not a hold? How is this not a hold? Because it's not a hold. But whatever, you can scream and be incredulous all you want, but I bet you can't name 2 players on your favorite NFL team, that person. So they put these videos, and people just trying to get attention, and they go viral, and everybody's just like, well, the NFL's rigged, and now the NFL wants Taylor Swift to be at every game, help their ratings, and so the more the Chiefs win, the better it is, and the conspiracy theories are in there, and some of the same stuff was said back. Remember, Tom Brady was dating a supermodel, Giselle, right? And so Chiefs fans sit here today and they don't get it, but they should get it, because we just 5 years ago were where everybody else is today. We hated the Patriots. We wanted the Patriots to lose every time. And how many times did we watch the Patriots? The Chiefs were average. Maybe they were good enough to win a division title, but we knew they weren't going to go to the Super Bowl, right? We hoped somehow the Chiefs could somehow make an AFC title game. Maybe they could get lucky and make it to the Super Bowl. We never fully believed the Chiefs were going to win a Super Bowl. I never did. So what was what did Chiefs fans get a whole kick out of? What was the thing that saved the Chiefs fans, at least gave them a little bit of solace, is if the Patriots didn't win it. If the Patriots lost, like, how many people, raise your hand, enjoyed the Patriots losing to the Giants on a David Tyree catch on his helmet that prevented the Patriots from going 19-0? Raise your hand. I'm raising my hand. Absolutely, I was cheering against the Patriots. Who was cheering for the Rams to beat the Patriots after the Patriots beat the Chiefs after D. Ford was offsides? You know, how many? What were people saying Chiefs fans, when Brady barely got grazed across the shoulder of the helmet, Chris Jones got called for a personal foul roughing the passer. You know, well, Brady gets all the calls. Well, yesterday, what are people saying the other night? Mahomes threw a pick, and there was a defensive hold. Oh, of course. Big interception negated by penalty. Mahomes gets all the calls. This is the exact same thing. This is no different than Tom Brady and New England Patriots. It's no different. In fact, if it's different, it might be a little bit worse for everybody outside of Chiefs Kingdom because of all the commercials, because of now Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and Kelce getting a ton of airtime, you jabroni, and all the things he says, fight for your right to Lombardi, which is terrific. I still love that one. And if you could be objective, which Chiefs fans will not be objective, just like Patriot fans were not objective, and just like people that hated the Patriots were not objective and couldn't understand that the Patriots got hosed on calls too, and they can't be objective to go, the Chiefs got calls against them. Well, no. The most important call went for the Chiefs. It was a hold on Gardner. But it wouldn't have come down to that hold if you didn't get a free 2 points and almost another touchdown gift wrapped. But it depends on how you look at it. But Chiefs Kingdom, let's not. I get it. We see through the red colored glasses. That's being a fan. I get all that. But ask yourself a question. Ask yourself this question. If this was Tom Brady right now, in all these commercials, if this was Rob Gronkowski dating Taylor Swift, and they showed Taylor Swift in the stands and in the suite, you go into every Patriot game, or, to make it even closer to home, if it was Russell Wilson in his prime, and the Broncos are kicking butt, and Russell Wilson was in every commercial, and the Broncos always seem to find a way to beat the Chiefs 15 straight times, Chiefs fans would be doing what? I know what they'd be doing because I've seen it already during the Elway years, except that was before really the social media. I've seen it already with the Brady years. I've even seen it with the Peyton Manning years, even though people like Peyton Manning more than Tom Brady, or so it seemed. This is cyclical. But if you are a Chiefs fan, you sit here and you don't get it. Just like you're a Patriots fan, you didn't get it. And just like anybody outside of Patriot Kingdom didn't get it, just like anybody outside of Chiefs Kingdom doesn't get it. And here's what you don't get. Everybody wants the team that wins all the time to lose, except for the fans of the team that always wins. This is automatic. This has been the case since the dawning of time. All right? The New York Yankees are the most hated team in all of baseball. I'm one of those that hate them. Why do I hate them? Because they're too damn good. It's a compliment.
Yeah.
If the Yankees end up going 20 years without winning a World Series, it may eventually wear off. But many people get a kick out of the Yankees losing. There's still people get a heck of a kick out of the Cowboys losing, even though they haven't won anything of substance for quite some time. There's still a lot of people that get a kick out of the Huskers continuing to lose, including K-State fans for some weird reason. There are people that love when KU men's basketball gets beat, because they won 14 straight conference titles. There are people that love to see the Dodgers get beat. Well, they got this big payroll. I can go right down the line. Love the Patriots get beat. We can go through every sport. Love when the Lakers and LeBron gets beat. Love when, you know, the Celtics get beat. Love it when the Warriors get beat. Or the Bulls and Jordan. Okay, Jordan was one of those where more people love Jordan because they're more of a Jordan fan instead of a Bulls fan. And there are people that really love Mahomes that maybe aren't really a Chiefs fan, but they love Mahomes. But this is the bubble that you live in when you're really good. It's as simple as that. And when you are the new kid on the block, it's one fun story. Yeah, all right. I love that Mahomes dude, man. So glad somebody took down the Patriots, even though the Chiefs technically didn't take down the Patriots. Patriots eventually just didn't win, and the Chiefs, you know, went to the Super Bowl, won it. Man, that's so awesome, man. It's great to see somebody besides the Patriots win the Super Bowl. That's a changing of the guard. All right, man. Brady ain't going to win it all the time. Yeah. Fast forward. 3 years later. God, I'm so sick of Mahomes. Dear God, will the guy cut his hair? He talks like he's Kermit the Frog. Why does everybody love this guy? He gets every call. Teams are worried to hit him because it'd be a personal foul, like DJ Reed the other day. I mean, and now Taylor Swift, okay. The NFL shouldn't be commenting on the NFL Instagram account about the Swifties being 2-0. It's just a whole bunch of crud. Guess what? At some point, the Chiefs will no longer be the cat's meow. At some point, I don't know when, I hope it lasts a very, very long time. But let's say it ends 5 years from now. Then the next 5 years, it might be Trevor Lawrence and the Jacksonville Jaguars that's the new cat's meow. It might be Caleb Williams and whatever team he ends up being with. And you know what? It'll be the same thing. Oh, wow. Caleb Williams and the Tennessee Titans, they took out the Chiefs. All right, it's great to see the Chiefs being dethroned. And then the Titans win 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. So sick of Caleb Williams. He's on every single commercial. The guy is annoying. I'm so tired of it. It doesn't matter the team. It doesn't matter the franchise. All that matters is those that win often and frequently are the most hated. I hate the Yankees. They beat the Royals many times when, you know, the Royals could have gone somewhere. I guarantee you Twins fans hate the Yankees. All the times the Yankees knocked out the Twins. You know, the Red Sox hate the Yankees. Most people outside of people that love the Yankees don't like the Yankees or get a little bit of a kick and a thrill when they lose. Same thing with Duke men's basketball. You know, there's KU fans that love when Duke loses, but guess what? Duke enjoys it when you lose, too. And it go Texas, Oklahoma, but there's people that, you know, get sick of the whole Texas thing, and everybody roots for against Texas. It is the ultimate showing of respect, actually, and it's a gigantic compliment when people complain and whine and bellyache about how your team is so good and how badly they want you to lose. It's amazing. Sometimes you enjoy the other team losing more than your team winning. That's how hated it is. Like, your team may actually win a division and go to the playoffs and not even play the Chiefs and lose in the wild card round, and the Chiefs lose in the AFC title game, and you're more excited about the Chiefs losing than you are your team coming out of nowhere to make the playoffs. That's the way people are geared. It doesn't make complete sense at all, but that's the fan, which is short for fanatic. But if you can absolutely be objective, which is hard for Dusty to do, it's hard for me to do, but on this show, I'm trying to be as objective as I can. Everybody knows I'm a diehard Chiefs fan. And by the way, I didn't jump on a wagon. I've been on there since I was born, basically. All right? And I went through the Frank Gans years. I went through the John Makovic years. I went through the Gunther Cunningham years. I went through the Marty Schottenheimer years, the Dick Vermeil years, the Todd Haley couple of years, Romeo Crennel interim coach year. I could go on and on. I've been through all of it. I've been through the Heartbreak Hotel, and Chiefs fans are finally getting what they deserve, which is, you know, something really awesome, which every franchise probably deserves it at some point or another. But ask yourself objectively, Chiefs fans, if this weren't your team, wouldn't you be acting the same way? And you would be. You know how I know that? Because you were.
You've done it before.
Because you've done it before with Elway. You've done it before with Peyton Manning in Denver. You've done it before with Manning and the Colts. You've done it with Brady and the Patriots. I've already seen this movie over and over. It's just that the roles have been flipped. Now everybody's against you. And that's great. As a fan, you should actually embrace it because it means you are the best team in the NFL. It means you are the face of the NFL when you have the best player. Kelce being popular enough for Taylor Swift to give him a time of day means that you're really good. Okay? She want him and her weren't seeing each other. He was a third-round pick out of Cincinnati. Of course, she wasn't as big deal then either. This is part of the popularity that it comes with being the best franchise in a particular sport. The Yankees went through it. The Bulls went through it. The Warriors went through it. The Patriots went through it. The Celtics, the Lakers, the Pistons. The Chiefs are simply just the latest installment.
I'll just add my piece real quick.
Honestly, I'm tired of the whole... I honestly do get tired sometimes seeing Kelce in every damn commercial. And Mahomes, too. I ain't gonna lie. I'm a Chiefs fan. I'm like,
well, yeah.
Unless it's something new and fresh, I'm like, dear God, how many commercials are they in?
Yeah, I'll just add a quick piece here because I got to get over there. But it's... For me, it's like... I said this after they won the Super Bowl last year. Don't let a single damn person rain on your parade tonight.
That's right.
With all this talk about penalties and holding, yes, and all this. I said, don't let it happen if you're an actual Chiefs fan. If you grew up a Chiefs fan, enjoy the hell out of this because nothing matters outside right
now. That's right.
Because we've been through it. We've been through the down parts as a fan of this franchise.
We've had
and
bad
it's like,
calls
I don't
against
really
us.
Care what they're saying about this. I'm going to enjoy the second time my team has won the Super Bowl and in my lifetime, the third time overall. But it's like, don't let anybody Marty Raine on that.
Yes.
And that's what Patriots fans had to do, right, too. And that's what every fan of every team like this has to do. Just don't let people rain on it. They're going to be like that.
Sure.
You can think of an example in every sport. The Yankees. You can think of, you know, like you said, the Lakers, Celtics. And then it became, listen, when Jordan dethroned the Bad Boys, everybody was having
a good time.
There was, by the third one, they were probably tired of Michael Jordan. You know, there's, like you said, there's us, you and I, that love Jordan. So we love every minute of it. But they turned on Jordan just like they did on everybody else. There was a definite group of fans that hated Michael Jordan.
Yes.
There's a group of fans that absolutely, and I was part of it, that absolutely loved Steph Curry when he got hot. I mean, this was a story. He's a short guy. You know, this guy said he was never going to make it in the league.
And you're tired of
him. And now he's, and then it gets to the point where he's doing this sleep thing and everybody's just like tired of his antics. They don't like the way he acts. Nothing changed. No. He's still Steph Curry. He's still the same kid. He's still the same dude. It doesn't change. But what changed is they kept winning and winning and winning. I got tired of seeing the Warriors and Cavs in the finals every year when that was happening.
Me too.
And everybody did, I think, that wasn't a fan of either
the Warriors or the Cavs.
And so it's going to be like that all the time. College football is Alabama.
And Georgia now. And
Georgia is getting there to that point.
And why is Georgia getting there? Because they've dethroned Alabama, right.
And so it's kind of like the quote in The Dark Knight for me, where you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain. You die on this, you know, mountaintop because this was your, finally you got to that mountaintop, you won the championship. All right, you got yours, get out of here.
Yes.
If you keep winning, then you're the villain, right? And so You've won long enough now to become the villain. And everybody hates you because you just win and win and win and win.
And the reason they hate you is because they all want to be you.
They want to be you. And they want to be in that spot. And their team's never been in that spot. You know, the Royals did it the right way for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they lived long enough to become, they died a hero. You know?
Right.
Like, it was over. Like, they had the 2-year span. They made it, lost. They made it back and won.
Yeah.
And we haven't heard from them since, and everybody's cool with that in Major League Baseball. Nobody even gives second thought to the Kansas City Royals, right? But the Kansas City Chiefs are different because they decided, hey, we're going to win one. We're going to stick around, by the way. And people don't like it.
That's right.
If it's not your team, you don't like it. I'm just happy to be a part of it. The Spurs are the same way in the NBA, but they're not as hated because people just don't really give them much thought. But you know, that was something that was going for a while, too. So I've seen it with a couple teams I cheer for, but the Chiefs is obviously on a max, way different level than the Spurs because, you know, the Chiefs are hot and they're everywhere. The Spurs were not everywhere when they were winning.
And to make it even worse, you got Taylor Swift involved, so people are tired about that. And then make it worse, every close game, it's like Mahomes finds a way, which is exactly what Elway did, Peyton Manning did, Tom Brady did. The greats always do that. Jordan would do it in close games, too, and turned on in basketball. You're absolutely right. So, if you're a Chiefs fan, like, I think that's a great thing that Dusty said. Don't let all these negative Nellies bring you down. Just go, you know what? You're jealous. You're jealous that I finally have the team that is the face of the National Football League. And at some point, you will no longer have that crown. So enjoy it. Live it up. Just smile when people want to be all mean-spirited towards you and hate on you. The only reason they're hating on you and your team is because they're downright super jealous. And people that hate on Kelce dating Swift, probably they're pretty dang jealous of Travis Kelce.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or sunflowerstateradio.com.